from stpetecatalyst.com.
Hi, I'm Bill DeYoung. Can you hear me?
I can.
Bill DeYoung, and this is the Catalyst Sessions. I'm here talking to my friend Veronica Leon Matthews. You can see her there. Hey there, Veronica. How are you?
Hey, Bill. I'm good. How are you?
There's no COVID online, right? So we can just toss that. You're in North Carolina. You're not here in St. Pete. What's going on? How come you're up there? It looks beautiful, by the way.
Yeah, I'm at my parents' place. My husband and I decided to come up here because we had an outbreak in our apartment complex in St. Petersburg. And ouch. So we just felt it would be safer to be here for a while. My parents' county only has about 90 cases right now, so it's a little safer.
And it's a small place, so you get to go out and walk and you don't see other people for miles kind of thing?
Yeah, they do. They have a pretty substantial property, so we are able to get out and walk a lot more than we were in St. Pete. We have a dog, too, so, you know, just taking her through the hallways in the apartment complex and encountering people on the street was somewhat stressful, so we do feel quite a bit safer here. And, they have some really great mask rules here, and they have had them in place for a while. Mm-hmm. So I've been doing the grocery shopping since isolation ended. We did isolate for 17 days when we got up here just to be sure that we didn't bring it from Florida.
Oh yeah.
So now I'm doing some of the grocery shopping and stuff, so take that off my parents as well, because they're in the high risk category. So
good for you. And it must be I bet you miss St. Petersburg though. I mean, it must be nice to kind of lower the risk factor and all that stuff, but we try to mitigate it however we can.
Right. Yeah, there's both. It's, I miss it a lot. I miss our place. There's, has all the awesome things about downtown, and, we have a nice balcony, and I had started a garden, like a container garden on the balcony. And so I had to leave all of that. And actually my friend who was tending the garden for me, came down with the virus. And so, I think that, when I go back, the plants will just be either rotting or dead, but that's fine,
You can always plant new ones. Hey, well, you're in, let's just say you're in Western, sort of Western North Carolina. So
yeah.
You're near our friend, Jeff Klinkenberg.
Yes.
He's the only other person I know that lives around there, but you know, Jeff, don't you? Can you share part of that story with me? You mentioned this before that it's total coincidence that you're in the same part of the state right now, but, your families knew each other or something like that?
Yes. My grandmother was good friends with his mother. Ah. And so when I would go to visit her at the Velvet Cloak condominiums on Pinellas Point, south side of St. Pete, we'd go down and see B. And she had a really cool dollhouse in her condo that she let me play with. And
wow.
So I have lots of fond memories of her. And then years later when my grandma passed, Jeff wrote a really nice article about her, and he termed her Baseball Betty. She was really obsessed with the Rays. So
that's nice. You are the co-founder, I guess, of the St. Petersburg Shakespeare Festival. Obviously it's inactive right now, like so many other aspects of the performing arts are just kind of on hold until we come out of the other side of this ridiculous thing. Let's talk about the origins of this company, and I hope you tell the story about, your experiences with American Stage and Shakespeare in the Park, and we can kind of bring it up today. Did I read that your father was an arborist?
Yes. And
what was the story? Tell us the story. I mean, this is a great one. And let's start there.
So, I think I had started to dance, maybe by that point in my life, 10 or 11. And my dad had a business that was passed down to him from my grandfather on my mom's side. So that business was the Tree Man Tree Service. Mm-hmm. And so my dad's business was Son of the Tree Man Tree Service.
That's clever, but okay.
Yeah.
Son of the Tree Man. All right.
Yeah, Son of the Tree Man. And it, he kind of built a little empire there in St. Petersburg. And now my brother has recently moved back from LA. I'm getting off topic here, but it all ties back in. Bear with me.
Yeah.
So my brother has recently moved back from LA. So he's in St. Petersburg again, and he has started a lawn company called Florida Supreme Green. And so he's kind of carrying on the family tradition here.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, so okay. Rewinding back, my dad got a call as son of the Tree Man Tree Service to come and take down some trees, I believe, in the courtyard of American Stage in its old location. And
remind me where that was. I wasn't living here at that point.
It was on the corner of, I think it was 2nd Street and 2nd Avenue, right downtown, right across from the Publix. And they actually recently tore the building down, which was super sad. My dad and I stood there on the corner and watched and, you know, took video and just kind of witnessed it going down. It was really sad. We stole a few bricks. We asked the construction crew for the window grates. So I now have 3 of them, which was really cool. They're huge wrought iron, heavy, you know, things. So they're on the balcony at home.
They'll be there when you get back.
They'll be there. Yeah.
Okay. So he goes to take trees down at American Stage and what happens?
Yeah. So he goes for the estimate, you know, and they say, well, you know, we're in some financial trouble, so would there be a possibility of a trade, you know? And he said, well, like what? And they said, you know, theater tickets, or do you have any kids? You can do some theater classes for your kids.
We'll take one of your kids and trade. Yeah.
So he said, yeah, you know, my daughter might actually like to take some theater classes. So I did that, and the classes were taught at the YMCA building downtown. Mm-hmm. And I guess one of the assignments that we had in the class was to come up with a character, take a character out of a magazine or something, you know, cut it out, cut the person out, and then build a character around this person.
Right.
So I chose a middle-aged man in a business suit, and I named him Bob. And I created this whole character. So I guess I was the only one in the class. I don't exactly remember what everyone else did, but I guess I was the only one in the class who chose someone who wasn't, you know, around their same age or their same gender. So the teachers thought that was different. So fast forward a few months, and my mom got a call from the theater saying, you know, someone has dropped out of our Shakespeare in the Park production, and we just need a replacement. You know, no audition necessary. We just need, you know, a yes. And the teachers from the class recommended your daughter because she did this weird thing with this character from a magazine.
Being weird pays off yet again.
Yes. This has definitely been a theme in my life. So I walked in to this rehearsal process with, I think, a week and a half or 2 weeks left. I'd never been in a production like that. I'd only been in school productions. And it definitely changed my life. I remember thinking, you know, this is what I want to do. And specifically listening to the language of Shakespeare, you know, when it's performed outdoors and you are sitting under the stars, hear it in the air, there's something magical about it. And I got hooked.
You got hooked the first time. That's an amazing story. Let's look at one of the photographs that you very kindly sent over, and see if it relates to this, because I sort of think it does. You have to kill some time here with a little soft shoe while I figure out what I'm doing. I do this all the time. Oh, there we go.
Oddly enough, I think if it's the photograph you're talking about, I was learning to tap in the photograph.
Yeah, it's that one.
Pretty appropriate, Bill.
Okay. Well, keep talking, because I haven't found it yet. What am I doing here?
So
why does this happen to me, Veronica? I don't know.
There was a man in the play named Rob Kreitz, who has gone on to do some juggling circus work in Los Angeles. And I think he was actually, you know, from Los Angeles. So he tapped in the show, and I just thought his tap dancing was incredible. And so I said, hey, can you show me some things? And then it turned into these tap lessons that I would get backstage.
Is this what we're looking at here?
Yeah, that's Rob and I. So I was, I think, 11 or 12 there.
Wow. What show was this?
This was All's Well That Ends Well.
And you had lines, or were you just sort of tapping around?
No, I didn't tap in the show, and I think I was only in about two scenes. There were, you know, maybe three or four kids. Matthew Everett, I met Matt during that show. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we walked on, we were in like crowd scenes.
Mm.
I think we sang, but only in a group, not by ourselves.
But you got hooked that early.
Yeah.
And I mean, does it dawn on you at 11? I have a lot to learn, or is it just like, gee, I like this. Let's go get some ice cream. You know, how does that work in a brain that young? Shakespeare. I mean, that's another universe that's to discover. So where did you go from there?
I was really interested in writing, and I loved words. And my parents were homeschooling us, my brother and I, mm-hmm. Already. And so, you know, they were just very dedicated to whatever we wanted to do. You know, if we were passionate about something, they were supportive. And so, you know, nice. I got all the dance lessons and the acting lessons and vocal lessons. So, you know, very supportive environment, definitely grew a lot in the craft. But then around age 18, I kind of lost the steam. And I also realized that the lifestyle was, you know, very challenging. And I was excelling academically, so I kind of shifted my focus into academics.
This is where I need you to jumpstart me educationally, as far as understanding how, you know, a love of something that's almost intangible, such as the way Shakespeare writes, and it's this whole kind of colorful universe of beautiful words. How does one, if you're not going to be an actor, how do you turn that into like your life's calling? You know, and I know you've studied this for so long. How do you say, yeah, I don't want to be on the stage, but I want to do more with this? How does that happen, and what does it mean?
I was really lucky that I was a little bit ahead in my studies, and so I kind of shifted directly from theater into being able to study Shakespeare as an undergrad. Mm-hmm. So that passion didn't go away. It just kind of switched venues for a little while. And so I was able to do an undergraduate honors thesis where I took three different Shakespeare plays and sort of morphed them into one play with a new plot. And that's kind of become
the famous Veronica mashup is what I was going to say. Yeah.
But it's become something, and it's definitely one of those weird things. It's been an interesting thing. I've been able to play around with the Studio Shakespeare, sort of Shakespeare in a Day. Programming that we have with the Shakespeare Festival.
There's another picture, and I actually have this one ready. And I think before we move ahead, because it's just so interesting, I wanted to sort of say, tell me what I'm looking at here.
Okay, so this was Twelfth Night Fever, which I believe was in 2000, Shakespeare in the Park, American Stage. And that's Justin Hires, who's, he went on to be on, I want to say MacGyver. He's fantastic. I love him. So we had a ball during that show. So it wasn't a very well received production.
Twelfth Night Fever. So that is that a mashup with Twelfth Night and Saturday Night Fever?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
It was directed by Kenneth Nolan Mitchell, who was the artistic director at American Stage at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was a really awesome person, definitely believed in me, showed me a lot of behind the scenes stuff at American Stage that I wouldn't have been able to see otherwise. You know, he allowed me to have some internships there, mm-hmm. Which taught me a lot about the back end of theater, the administrative part of theater. And I was also able to shadow him in one of my internships to sort of learn what it's like to be an artistic director. So American Stage really provided a lot of the background that I needed to start my own company.
Well, it was 2006 that American Stage stopped doing Shakespeare in the Park. And you were, I imagine, already dead set on what you were going to do. Had you already decided not to act anymore, or did that come a little later?
Oh, no. Yeah, it was early 2000s that I went, no, this is...
My timeline's a little skewed here, so bear with me.
That's okay. I mean, you know, I met my abuser at American Stage when I was 13. And so that also really informed kind of me getting out of it. And so I spent 10 years away, sort of building up the confidence to, you know, come back and confront that.
I'm glad it's passed and that you were able to. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
there's this gap, and, but you did come back and dive back in the pool, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. And I saw, you know, I missed Shakespeare in the Park, and I sort of, a lot of my friends talked about it, and, you know, I had started to work at American Stage again as an education associate, briefly sort of right as Todd Olson was leaving and Stephanie Glare was coming in.
Yes.
And so I got to work with Meg Heimstead, and I learned a ton from her as well. And yeah, I had this really awesome opportunity at USF St. Petersburg. And so I ended up switching back into academia again. But at the same time, I co-founded the Shakespeare Festival with Dr. Starks.
Lisa Starks, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put a brand on this. Why? Why did you guys do it? Why, you know, was there a void? Like, you weren't the only ones, is what you've told me, I think, that were saying, why doesn't anybody do this anymore?
Yeah.
Was that about it?
Yeah. I mean, I missed it, and I saw a chance that, you know, that there was something missing in the theater scene. And yeah. I wanted to do it differently too. You know, I grew up doing, you know, professional theater at American Stage, but I also did children's theater and sort of like traveling shows. And one of the things that I loved about that was just that, you know, a lot of people who weren't, they were professional actors and that they were being paid, but they weren't necessarily, you know, they weren't getting roles at American Stage. They weren't necessarily getting roles at Jobsite, but they were still talented. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed working with them, and I learned a lot working with them. So there was this part of me that went, you know, I'd like to be able to open this up, and have, you know, sort of underrepresented voices, and to make sure that we really created a platform for a lot of different types of actors. And honestly, we've cast a lot of very first-time actors, people who've never been on the stage before. Mm-hmm. And that's been some of the most rewarding work, honestly, is kind of seeing their journeys.
Well, that's like, I mean, in a way, that's like turning somebody on to the thing you love and having them say, wow, look, I get it. This is so cool. So you didn't go to Williams Park for a few years, as I recall, didn't you? You were doing it at USF at a venue over there. And tell me why, and then why you changed that.
Yeah. There was this amazing little stage. It's still there. between Williams House and Snell House, these two historic homes that are on the USF St. Petersburg campus. And I still work there. I work as an office manager in online learning. Mm-hmm. And also in the Center for Innovative Teaching and Learning. So I still have that like sort of education academic focus in my life that I love. And I'm a doctoral student at USF Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so yeah, I started it there, co-founded it there with Dr. Starks. There's this awesome little stage, and it was like perfect for us for a few years. I mean, I still miss the stage in many ways just because it was so cozy and it was really easy to light, and you could do a lot with it. There was this really cool sort of, you know, ramp across the top of it. So we had another level that we could play with. Sometimes we opened it up so that the audience would sit in the courtyard sort of facing each other, and we'd play in the middle. It was so many options. It was great, but it was super small. And there were many, you know, sort of rules, of course, that the university had about safety and you know, how many people could come into that space.
Oh, yeah.
So we kind of outgrew it, and we ended up at Williams Park, and that changed a lot for us. And
dynamically, I can, let me count the ways, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that stage is amazing. You know, I mean, just the sheer size of it is awesome. And then, you know, being able to sort of have that traffic just wandering through was different for us too, because we were so tucked away at USF.
Is it difficult? I suspect that it's to light that stage. You know, I know you've said you had some sound issues and things like that. That's an entirely different ball of wax, as they say. I mean,
yeah, absolutely. And yeah. You know, we get a lot of criticism for lighting and for sound. And I think, you know, it's those mm-hmm. things are very expensive, obviously. And, you know, we've kind of reached further every year and with every production. And that was the first production we did at Williams Park, Julius Caesar, directed by Brianna Larson.
I like this because you see that amazing roof there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's stunning.
let's go over that again, though, Veronica. I mean, the challenges of doing a production here. I mean, I love the fact, as you say, that the sort of atmosphere of people coming and going is fluid mm-hmm. in here. And look, here are the players doing this thing. But lighting, it's kind of a bitch. Sound, you have issues with sound, as you say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where does y'all's money come from? I mean, if I may.
Yeah, we started with some awesome support from people at USF St. Petersburg, just, you know, people who were passionate about Shakespeare, you know, people who knew me and who knew Dr. Stark. So that gave us a really awesome foundation for those first few years. Mm-hmm. My husband's company, which is now closed, but Big Noise Institute was also a really big help to us in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of our sound that we still use, our sound equipment, came from. And then I was able to, get a grant from St. Petersburg Arts Alliance for the Individual Artist Award. And that was really helpful in our first few years. Mm-hmm. But more recently, we started a collaboration with the studio at 620.
And
that has really just made, it's been an amazing artistic journey with Bob Devin Jones. We did, this was our first production together. So order to not, you know, sort of like not confuse people, but it might have just confused people more. We're really not sure, but that's okay. St. Petersburg Shakespeare Festival is just my company, and we do, you know, one production a year. And then together with the studio at 620, we do a second production, and we call that Shakespeare in the City. That collaboration.
Tell me the benefit, specifically the benefit of that collaboration. I have a nice picture of you and Bob that I'm going to bring up in a minute. Nobody's ever seen, but the benefits for you, you haven't even seen it. The benefits of this kind of collaboration, what does that do for you that you don't get in the stuff that you do on your own?
I mean, personally and artistically, it's that I get to work with Bob, which, I mean, when we got down to, you know, the first year I was assistant director for Midsummer Night's Dream. And then the second time, we did a co-directing with Taming of the Shrew. Mm-hmm. And when we really got down to working together, what we realized is that I love to block mm-hmm. and I'm very detailed. So like I'll come in to rehearsal with, you know, the idea of a basic idea. Like I like plans. I want to have a plan. If the plan changes, that's fine, but I like to have a plan. So I'll come into rehearsal with notes and, you know, and basic blocking. And then, of course, we work through the scene and all of that might change and that's fine, but I like to come in with an idea. Right. Bob comes in with more of, oh my gosh. That's adorable. What were we talking about?
I don't know. I'm not sure what he's doing there. I remember the day we shot this, but I never used this picture. So I just found it today.
Oh, I'm going to cry.
Continue with what you're saying. So Bob will just come in and say, do it this way, or let's try it this way, or.
Yeah, I mean, he's so focused on Independent so good at getting the actors to really embody what they're saying. Mm. And so, and I feel like this is something that I'm lacking. So, and we've talked about it at length. And so, you know, when we're in rehearsal together, that's kind of, we figured out our separate spaces. Like, this is the thing that I excel at, and this is the thing that you excel at. And we are able to let each other sort of, you know, both move forward that way. And I'm learning so much from him in rehearsal because, you know, I started this company, but I never thought that I would direct. And the director that we had lined up for our very first production in 2015 of As You Like It, he had a death in the family right before we started rehearsal, and I didn't know what else to do. And so I did it. I directed it. And then I kind of fell in love with it. but there's, you know, there's a lot left to learn, and to work with someone like him is just incredible. So that's one amazing benefit for me. And that's the very selfish benefit. The benefit for the company, of course, is that Studio at 620 has some amazing funding and support, and also just resources of, you know, lighting and sound that are quite different than ours. And so, you know, the production value of the shows that we're able to collaborate with them on, it's very different. It's not necessarily that it's better, but it's just different.
I would imagine, and we can say that this collaboration isn't over yet.
No.
You know, like so many things, it's like to be continued.
Yeah.
Whenever the hell that is.
we were planning a fall production. We, of course, had to cancel our spring production.
Yeah.
But we were planning a fall production where I would take the lead in directing and he would work with me more as co or assistant. We hadn't quite figured that out yet. But it was going to be an all-female 12th Night, which is my favorite play. Mm. And so, you know, we sort of set out the collaboration and said, okay, we want a plan for 3 years. And we'll see what happens after that, but for 3 years. Okay, so yeah. He said, my first thing I want is this amazing, you know, dancing, singing Midsummer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Alex Jones has been the choreographer for this collaboration, and his work is incredible.
Yeah, it is, yes.
And I saw his Catalyst session.
Yeah. He's amazing. Amazing talent. Yeah.
So Bob said, I want to do an all-male production and an all-female production.
Yeah.
And he said, I've always wanted to do an all-male team. It's true. And he said, what do you want to do for an all-female? And I said, 12th Night, I want to do an all-female 12th Night. So because I'm a doctoral student and I was meant to graduate this summer, which is not going to happen, but that's fine. we said, okay, go ahead and, you know, we'll do the all-male production first.
Yes.
Because I needed a little more time before I could fully commit to directing in a production. So we got a lot of flack for that all-male production, and I kind of kept saying, like, oh, but we're going to do an all-female production. Just give us the time. But
oh, I see. Now, they're paired up, and people didn't see the other
right thing.
You got a lot of flack for it. Boy, that's, yeah. You know, I didn't see it, but I remember watching you guys working down there, and the pictures look great.
Yeah, and, it was a great show.
So, I mean, what's the future look like? I mean, in as much as you can say there is a future, I mean, are there any plans, or just writing this thing out now like the rest of us?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking that, you know, for fall, we might do something virtually if Bob is up for that. And, you know, as you know, he's recovering from the virus. So there's, you know, we'll get back to talking and and we'll figure that out together.
To be continued, definitely, yeah.
But I mean, I have a lot of questions as an artistic director about, you know, how to continue with a company that is based in the work of a dead white man. And so that's something that I really, you know, I'm considering carefully and thinking about moving forward.
Understandable. The St. Petersburg Shakespeare Festival has a website. And just as I try to do with a lot of people, those of you who are watching, if you'd like to help, I mean, you'd like to send some money, what's the website called?
Tell us. Absolutely. It's stpeteshakesfest.org.
Okay. And it would be welcome. And this is something that not only could really use your help, but would just get better with you, the folks with the money out there. And anything else you want to say before we check out today?
Yeah,
always a pleasure to see your pretty face here, and I'm so glad that we were able to do this today.
Yeah, me too. This is great. And any funds that we receive at this point are going toward paying the cast for the prep work that they did prior to rehearsals beginning. We didn't actually get into the rehearsal process before we had to call spring, but they did do a wonderful reading with us. A studio.
You had 12th Night all cast and everything?
This was actually Merchant of Venice. This was our
show. Oh, that was the next thing. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, we were able to pay our creative staff, but I would love to be able to pay the actors at least for the prep work that they did. So any funds we receive at this point go to that.
Well, brilliant. I wish you continued success. My best, Mark. And, and let's see. Well, we'll see when you get back here and keep us posted here at the Catalyst. Go take a walk and say hello to nature for me. If you're running to Klinkenberg, give them my best, huh?
I will. Thank you, Bill.
Thanks, Veronica. We'll see you real soon now.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
From stpetecatalyst.com.